Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, live from stormy Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, stylish school uniform by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review, Magazine, Basic Training, MedX in Scottsdale, Arizona, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader. Rob Beckman, PhD, co-founder and executive director, Treat Now, and the chief knowledge officer with the Foundation for the Study of Inflammatory Disease will be joining me, along with Dr. Robert Verrilet. He's an independent researcher and educator in elite athletic performance and the world of biomimetics. Then the sports doctor's in with some upcoming guest topics, a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom, some emails, you know, the routine. Rob Beckman, welcome to the sports doctor.
Here to talk about how to treat and heal brain wounds.
Ah, bingo. Bob, give us a background, a quickie background on yourself, including getting into this world of the whole brain wound, interesting term, categories. Yes. with our veterans, with the concussions, the whole world. Give us some background, Rob.
Vietnam vet, U.S. Air Force pilot, 70-75. Got deeply involved in first nuclear proliferation and a PhD that led to some software teaching at the Naval Academy for 5 years, and then a rich history for over 30 years in the intelligence community building knowledge management systems, where in 2008 the suicide epidemic was coming on the radar screen, vets being thrown out of the military, other honorable. And the suicide rate unspoken but going up. And so for the last 17 years, a group of vets working pro bono started Treat Now to end service member suicides. It started with hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which is the primary mechanism, and a variety of other alternatives, which together accelerate brain wound healing.
Oh, even the awareness, you know, the awareness, the awareness of the problem is gigantic importance. And the idea that something exciting like hyperbaric oxygen, like one of my frequent guests, Hillary Loftus, who was the educational director for the WOW organization, working with the wounded, same world with you that you're involved with, and the excitement of this hyperbaric oxygen, which has been around podiatry and wound care for years, enhancing healing, all of a sudden was an exciting piece regarding, again, brain wound, brain injury, and again, the awareness that the suicide in the military was way, way, way out of control. And it's great that we're finally really, really paying attention. But boy, it's a contest, isn't it?
Well, here's a few facts to ground listeners. Over 875,000 brain injuries post 9/11. Over 153,000 suicides of service members since 9/11. Over 110,000 deaths through prescribed overdose of opioids and others. That's over 250,000 dead service members avoidable. The VA will not talk about healing brain wounds. It's not even a phrase they're familiar with. And they continue with their pharmacological and talk therapy, which is a waste of time after 6 months. And not even 50% of veterans are in the VA. And the VA will not spend a dime on hyperbaric
oxygen.
Well,
we're going to help. We're going to help. If it takes forever, we're going to help change it, Rob, with awareness,
education and positive change. And nobody...
I'll phrase it differently. It has to be treatment, action.
Yes.
Put them into the chamber, and we will prove over 87% success. We've done it with 31,000 patients, 12,500 veterans plus, over 750 special operators around the world that's used.
How has the medical world, again, in general, we've seen it in the sports medicine world in general, you know, the football and head trauma and all of these things. How, in your experience over the 17 years, it seems to me we're making a lot of progress, but it also seems to me that we're treading water in so many ways, and this is why talking about it has got to be some changes made in with the tremendous attention with the military.
Well, here's a couple other facts, Dr. Bob. I mean, let's ground this in real facts, things which are happening today. Over $500 million spent on suicide prevention programs, which accompany an increase for 20 years in the suicide rate. It's almost as though we're paying people to commit suicide.
Yes.
Move those to treating and healing the brain wound. Yes. There is no root cause analysis done. None. Zero. It's a brain wound. It is not a mental health issue. It leads to mental health issues. God knows. PTSD is real. But the Army itself said in their blast injury studies that in all likelihood, PTSD is a secondary sequelae after an undiagnosed brain injury.
Well, this is, again, you know, the National Football League has been playing games with this as long as their existence. From years ago when it was somebody had a collision, he came to the sidelines, hey, how many fingers? All right, go back in, to the tremendous protocol today. So
we're all familiar with the concussion protocol, which isn't medicine. You go into that blue tent, there's no medicine involved.
I thought there's some ibuprofen in the blue tent.
It's all about legal risk. Risk, not medical healing.
That's a very big point. That's a very, very big point, this legal, let alone the healthcare industry side of these things. Well, again, when it comes to paying the kind of attention when we're dealing with...
Well, look at what the NC2A just did. The NC2A just spent $1 billion on a lawsuit for their athletes, mostly football, who were not treated and healed. This is a colossal, colossal medical malpractice suit waiting to happen.
Yes.
We know that it
also
works.
Also, Rob, also the term student-athlete is a legal term. I've had guests on for a million years. They would talk about student-athlete. So, example, somebody has a few knee injuries. Maybe they have, God forbid, some sort of paralysis, something like that. But let's say they have knee injury, they have knee surgery, and years ago they graduate school, they have all sorts of problems, more situations. Hey, you ain't covered. Compared to the person who works for the university who's covered.
Dr. So Bob, focus on the brain injuries that we can heal and are healing today. The entire nation of Israel can go into a hyperbaric chamber and get treated for free. It works. It's on-label. We've got 27 scientific studies demonstrating safety and efficacy.
Who's the
doctor? Ask yourself, who's standing in the way?
Yeah, is it Dr. Freit? I'm trying to remember the guest from Israel. From the group who works with the hyperbaric oxygen.
Shia Frati.
Yes. Hey, hi, Shia. Yes. There's how many different clinics, the availability of hyperbaric oxygen, and I know you've made a tremendous inroad, how many, centers around the country.
We've got over 165 clinics that'll treat today. Anybody can go on the website, treatnow.org, TREATNOW.org, and find a hyperbaric clinic near to you. We facilitate combat veterans into treatment for free. This is a national demand, a national requirement that we pay attention to brain wounds. And it's not just veterans and athletes, falls, strokes,
sideline accidents, assaults. We are talking about over 5 million Americans with undiagnosed traumatic brain injury.
Yes,
and the cost
and again,
to society
you know, the,
is monumental.
On the one hand, you know, you have the CTE-related over-the-years changes because of repetitive head trauma physically. This, again,
it
whether
have
it's...
to be repetitive. It can
no,
be a one-time
yes,
shot.
Yes.
But in
and
all
in
likelihood,
the psychology
sports
world,
is repetition.
Yeah. Yep. And in the psychology world, you're talking a whole other world with post-traumatic these syndromes, which have nothing to do with physical trauma, but have all sorts to do, or sound concussion, or you know these some of these other areas.
Havana syndrome, directed energy weapons, COVID caused all kinds of brain injury, burn pits. We're dealing
so
with every single
your,
one of those
where's
episodes.
Your attention? Where's your attention to the inflammatory diseases, again, which include head trauma, inflammatory? You include
of
those
course.
In
all
the,
disease states are inflammatory.
Okay.
All disease states lead to inflammation. The beauty of hyperbarics, yeah. in addition to other alternatives, is it propagates stem cells for healing. It's anti-inflammatory, antibacterial. It is a all systems healing process.
Yeah, that's why
we
Michael
can't
Jackson
live without oxygen.
Why Michael Jackson wanted one in this house. Again, trying to enhance natural healing, interchange of fluids and injury-related fluids has long again been in the treatment of wounds and diabetic wounds, the nightmare of amputation. My old colleague, Dr. Larry Rubin with the LEAP organization, trying to limit lower extremity amputations, again, with yep. this whole idea of healing in mind, but the psychological side has been something that's very, very exciting when it comes to even enhancing performance, which is one of the directions I'm very interested in as to whether or not the inclusion in the world of training, whatever the sport is, that hyperbaric oxygen would be a step up.
Dr. Bob, let me give you a couple of statistics. We believe in number, science, data, facts. The GOATs, the best players in the world, Michael Phelps, hyperbaric oxygen. Novak Djokovic carries his own medical-grade chamber around, best tennis player in the world, arguably. Tom Brady. I can go on and on with all
yes.
of the LeBron Jameses of the world and the Joe Namaths who use it not just for performance enhancement, but for
yes.
soft tissue healing. It's
yeah,
30
well,
to 40% faster
yeah.
healing pre and post
this
op.
Is why we want, this is why we want to be able to, in your world, you share the heck out of this segment, which has been so educational, again, in all of these areas. Again, now you're talking again about, well, when you can't turn on your television for 2 seconds without seeing a drug commercial, you know, only the United States and New Zealand have that. Nobody else allows this constant barrage of prescription medicines for everything in big pharma and modalities that don't have virtually any side effects. How is the world of insurance working with hyperbarics, if at
well,
all?
Well, here's the dilemma. When the FDA has it put it on label, insurance companies shy away. But the good news today, in the state of Kentucky, hospitals under the care, the umbrella of a legislative bill that was passed 2 years ago, can now treat off-label. Off-label equals not insured, but they are insured through the state having
yes.
passed laws and appropriated monies.
Yeah,
to treat
my guy,
they're
my
one
guys
of 13 states.
My guys at University of Louisville, Rob, Kentucky, and Kentucky. But again, the idea off-label means that the main reason, quote-unquote, the medicine or the modality is used, it's also effective, very effective. I mean, who knew? Look at the weight loss, the Ozempics or whatever, which was initially off-label. All of a sudden, they had to change the labels in that regard. And the how do your organizations work together as far as the inflammatory disease side of the foundation as well as Treat Now?
Well, you bet. We're working with people all over the world who are studying different sides of the same problem, but the problem, properly defined, root cause analysis, a wound to the brain, a wound anywhere in the body is susceptible to oxygen
but
under pressure.
But that's revolutionary. I got to say to you, Rob, you know, again, and all, I've had a million concussion experts from all over the world on the Sports Doctor. I can't remember the term brain wound. And it's an interesting...
Well, shame on them.
Shame on them. Yes. Well, again, you're educational. We're talking all sorts of brain problems, brain injuries, brain other effects. But that's another...
Look, all neurologic
population.
Disease states. Dr. Bob, all neurologic disease states, all of them, involve inflammation. All of them are susceptible to oxygen under pressure. I mean, we're talking 12 to 20 times more oxygen getting into your system for healing.
Of course,
and
inflammation,
Rob.
Inflammation is the first major force of healing. But when you have to also understand when it's excessive, it's problematic. And then you get the world of anti. I knew the time would fly with you. We're going to have to do a couple more shows with this guy. Give me again the website, Rob. Give me the website with the great work you guys do for these organizations quickly.
TreatNow.org. TreatNow.org.
Okay, and that'll hook you up to whatever with the foundation as well?
All of it. All of it's there.
Great. Okay. Hey, Hillary, we got him on. Okay, Rob, okay, I want you to hold on. Everybody, we'll be right back. Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we're back live from Chicago, the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, Dr. Han Robert Berulet. Did I pronounce that right, Rob?
No, it's actually pronounced fur flute. I'm Dutch, and so in my native language, V's are pronounced as F, so it's like fur like a fur coat, flute like a musical instrument. So, menominee for flute.
Yes, and usually my last name, Weil, I'm usually always making sure I can pronounce it. I was off on this one.
So you're Veal?
I'm Weil, yes.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And the world of sports performance, give us some background on yourself that leads into this world of biomimetics. Again, Dr. Robert, educator in elite athletic performance and again, in that specialty of biomimetics.
Yes. The idea, my parents are both doctors. So I grew up with Gray's Anatomy I have a passion for medicine. It's history, actually. I collect medical textbooks. My oldest is from 1832, and I kind of work my way up from there. And so in 1992, one of the things my parents, my father was an Olympic rowing coach, coached in the 1960 Olympics, and has won six national championships of the sport in Holland. Very, very well respected. And so I kind of grew up with sports that way. And my parents, of course, being European, were very academic. And they always told me that if you want to be the best, you have to go study with the best. So if you want to, you know, study science, go to the best science schools. Math, go to the best math school. And I just looked at my parents and said, well, that doesn't mean much to me. I don't want to be the best. I want to be better than the best. So that's my question. How do you be better than the best? How do you be faster than Usain Bolt? How do you be a better basketball player than Michael Jordan? And so when I
good luck to you.
No, not at all. That's the whole point, is that when you ask the question, who are we as athletes, the premise is that throughout...
Well, you're in my world now, Doc. You're the sports doctor for decades. The role of the foot, you know, movement, biomechanics, stability...
Everything.
Balance.
Yes,
and again, you've bucked some of the old lore systems of the idea of movement, which, you know, again, when you're dealing with, you know, enhancing performance and the this biological mimicry of animals for humans. I have always told my great athletes I wanted them to either be around or own a cat. And all of a sudden, there you came.
Yeah. And that's just it, is that no matter what sport humans participate in, there's an animal in Mother Nature who's been doing it for millions of years. And the definition of science is that it's repeatable. And human training, the science that we train athletes by, my first question is, well, how does Mother Nature train them? And the science that we follow, or quote-unquote, is fraud. It doesn't exist. Everything we teach athletes, you cannot find an equal in Mother Nature's Olympics. And so I gave up on physical training.
Now, that doesn't mean, though, that you can't strengthen and train all the systems that are used in whatever the sport is. My late great therapist, who was also very controversial like you, I'll give you a couple of examples, but Bob Guida, the late great Bob Guida, spent decades with him, working with the McEnroes and working with the Walter Paynes, and he would always say, we got to strengthen the opposite. We got to work strengthening the breaks. So again, the idea of moving patterns, and again, I'm picturing now one of my cats jumping 4 feet in the air and landing on one foot, and I can't even hear it. So,
but that becomes the question
when you would come up against plenty of resistance.
Oh, not about resistance. I've been hung. I've actually had someone throw a noose around my neck and start grabbing and start choking me to death because of what I say.
There's, wow.
That's the athletic training industry. My joke has always been that everybody wants a conversation with me to, you know, try and demonstrate and prove what they know. But as soon as you ask them a question they can't answer, they want nothing to do with you. And it doesn't matter whether...
You know, besides, and I know you've worked with world-class people, this is where you went to look to me, whether it was speed skating, whether it was basketball, whatever the sport happened to be. And again, so the idea, what are some of the principles when you're thinking about the ability of an athlete, whether it's to land soft, explode with power, change direction, prevent injury... Again, preventing injury on the left and enhancing performance on the right are the two basic things. So what is it about, in English, in biomimetics, what is it about the principles that you're speaking about that you feel is superior?
It's a balance game.
Okay.
I spent
yes,
7 years with...
Balance is a big word.
Right. Okay, but here's go with the question. When humans walk and run, don't we swing our arms? Right? We call that a counterbounce arm swing, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't we call that a counterbounce arm swing? Yeah. So that was my question.
Sometimes.
Right. So what's so out of balance that we have to swing our arms to counter it?
Well, you might have flat feet. That's going to throw you out of balance. Of course, I'm hitting you with a little sports podiatry for fun.
Okay. the element of say, okay, well then, if rather than try and figure out how to train symmetrically, I looked at what is balance in terms of movement. You know, we talk about we talk about core stability, but we're naturally stronger on one side of our body, so the core.
Well, this is why I've always liked, again, Gaida, again, we named it instability training. Every athlete, whatever their sport, would be working on all sorts of balance by creating instability, whether it was a walking beam. Imagine yourself balancing on a mini trampoline, this incredible sand dune stepper by a longtime radio guest of mine really simulates being on the beach, working the gripping power of the feet, et cetera, and strengthening these systems. But what is it about when I saw you were talking about the world of skating, but in the world of running, and again, if we're talking about define for us biomimetics.
Biomimetics is following animal principles of movement. It's asking, what do they do different? Most of us have all seen a dog chase a cat, but I've yet to meet anyone who's seen a dog catch a cat. And so you look, cats.
So what do they do different? Again, generalizing the heck out of it, that would relate to how I was training somebody.
Yeah, we teach that humans lean forward and push backwards. That's Newton's law of motion. Cats lean backwards and pull forward. Cats pull their weight. So while we have a center of gravity, and as athletes, we worry about overstriding if our stride length is too far in front of us, a cat, for stalking, will rest back on its hind three limbs and reach its lead paw on the ground and put it down as lightly as possible to make sure they don't make a noise, and then they pull themselves forward onto that limb.
Yeah, that's like that tiger who's kind of waiting in anticipation.
Right.
What's the best website, Dr. Rob, for people to find out about you, your articles? You've got a lot of them, or your work. What's the best site to find out about you and what you're doing?
LinkedIn is probably the first step, and
okay.
I have a YouTube channel that has some of the visuals of it, which is Sport Jester One. It's kind of been my.
So now
my
I just finished the numerous articles on a chapter for my book Hashtag Sports Parents, which was called The Prodigy Sports. Kids, we don't want them to specialize. We want them to play lots of sports. That's great, unless you're a figure skater like I specialize in, or gymnast or whatever. So we have a young 12, 13-year-old boy or girl athlete, and we want them to learn to incorporate your principles. What are some of the things they would begin to be working on?
Learning how to walk and run one foot perfectly in front of the other.
Okay, like a balance test from the police who's taking you out to if you had too much to drink?
Right, that's why they give it to you, because it's biologically impossible to do unless you have the balance skills.
So how do you incorporate that into, let's say, and I know you've worked with some great ones, whatever their sport happens to be, so you're starting from them working that kind of cognitive balance, one foot behind the other, and then what else might they be doing to strengthen or to move more into your systems?
It's learning the balance skills. It's about teaching symmetry, not of strength, but of movement. We swing our arms because it's not that we have unequal strength in our legs, it's because we have unequal movement in our legs. And so the idea of walking one foot in front of the other, and which is how all high-speed animals run, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about dinosaurs or even early humans, the fossil
records. That's right. I remember you were using T-Rex as one of your examples.
Yes, right.
Right?
So, yeah, that was my pinnacle animal, was saying how did that animal become the apex predator of planet Earth's history? And how do you take those skills? How do you learn how to use the foot? I mean, the foot has internal and external rotation capabilities, but the modern shoe has only one point where it bends. So we don't learn how to use the entire functions of our feet. The adductors are the
well, that's why I like, that's why I mentioned to you, that's why I've always liked Gaida would include barefoot running in all of the training, whatever the sport was. They had to be on a safe surface. They weren't running barefoot on concrete like we would see.
No.
But even when we incorporated, which we very, very often do, the world of orthotics for joint alignment, which is a key, doesn't mean we're not working. Guy said, I don't know if you remember Von Kleiburn, everybody.
No.
He's a famous pianist. Guy said, we want to strengthen those toes and feet like Von Kleiburn's hands. That's why I love the sand dune, where it really simulates. People go to Sand Dune Stepper. They could check that out. So you're including, do you use resistance to motion training, Dr. Rob?
I use not so much resistance training. I'm not a real super big fan of weights for most athletes.
What about rubber bands?
Yes. Stretch bands are the key.
Yes. That's all we did. Foot ankle. Rubber bands.
Right. Right. But it's also how you set yourself up for balance. And one of the ideas of putting yourself in line, one foot in front of the other, if you learn the balance skills to do that properly, is that you're taking advantage of the femoral tibial angle. If you know what we're referring to, it's how do you put not just the upper body, but it's also how do you use the lower body.
Well, alignment is a big deal. So the body can adapt. Of course, there's always been the difference. Everybody, just think of yourself walking with your footprints on the beach. There's a distance between your ankles, your feet tilt forward, they're back, they go sideways, and it's called the angle of gait. If you look at the same runner, one foot's behind the other, which is why the biomechanics is different. We're going to talk more about it with Dr. Han Robert. And pronounce your last name for me again already.
For Flute.
Got it, For Flute. Now I got this. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back on the Sports Doctor, and we're talking with Dr. Rob here. Dr. Rob and Dr. Bob, we're talking about the science world of biomimetics from the highest area of sports performance. Again, whether we're talking fall prevention, whether we're talking trying to age gracefully, and the challenge many times of a new revolutionary thought process. And I mentioned Guida initially. I also mentioned Gary Reinel, Gary, frequent guest of ours. Gary's the author of the book Iced, An Illusionary Treatment Option. And the same way the whole world came after Guida, because he was anti-stretching, actually anti-overstretching. Oh, they came after him. And Gary, who said ice doesn't help anything, it retards healing. All it's good for is numbing, was, whoa, it came after him. So, Dr. Rob, welcome to that club.
Well, that's really it. It's not a question of how we do move. My question was, how are we designed to move?
Have you found, when you're talking, who are some of the great athletes? I remember you're talking Steph Curry, you're talking about Kevin Durant, and some of these other athletes who maybe can incorporate, when you're talking athletic trainers, team physicians, and incorporating this, for example, is it always an argument?
Well, it's not only an argument, it's the fact that they're confrontational to the sense that they can't argue me. I can't get discredited. I mean, here's biology says if I were to train you as an athlete, I can teach anyone born in a modern shoe-wearing culture how to run at least, and I kid you not because Nike let me prove it, at least 20% faster in an hour. I don't care.
Now, when you think a name like Nike, who's the biggest in the world in all performance, hey, everybody, just do it. When you think about that, what's interesting is the fact that they should have such tremendous sway to include this philosophy is not the only but a key ingredient in the two areas we're talking about, because high performance is preventing injury, right?
Well, the idea is when I, you know the story about, the different coaches, but none of them want to let me prove I know more than they do.
Ah! And you'll send them a copy of our show. Again,
there you go.
We're talking about some of the great, the idea, again, of, you know, not trying to be less confrontational. When I talk with the world-class nutritionists, I talk about the new topic of sports pharmacy. I talk about the new topic of sports cardiology. And we talk about these innovators, many times of things you'd think would make a lot of sense, especially in our healthcare system. And again, in the world of athletic training and professional sports, you know, I've had the Yankees team doctor, Dr. Chris Ahmad, frequently, the Bulls White Sox, Dr. Brian Cole, and I say to you, how's your sports psychology skills with these kinds of pressures, you know, with many times the pushing and whatever of athletes? So you'd think eventually that we would get the point across that there's a lot of positives that make a lot of sense that we need to pay more attention to.
Good
luck to you.
We pay attention to it, but we really look at it through our, you know, rose-colored glasses. That's why I went into studying animals, is that they have their decision-making skills are based on survival. Animals represent the evolution of skills. For example, we all learn that an ant can lift 50 times its own weight, right?
Yes.
So have you ever read an article about strength training written by an expert in ants?
Well, it's an interesting comparison because you probably can come up with it when you're talking about those philosophies.
For example, we push for strength training with the byproduct we're told it develops larger muscles. You know, we want to get
more core strength. You wrote about, interesting, again, we're running out of time, the stability of the core, and you said these high-performance athletes are moving so well, so incredibly explosively because of instability in some ways.
Right.
So you go, whoa, there's some interesting things we could talk about all day. But if you train,
the best animals in the world don't harness strength. They harness momentum.
Good point.
Balance training to the point where the definition of walking, perfect balance is being able to walk and run with no need to swing your arms. If your legs are working that perfectly in motion equally, there's nothing from the hips up in order to balance. There's no countering.
What about the track athletes today we see who have much, much, much less arm swing? They're really, their elbows are close to their body in a lot of ways. Are they starting to pay attention to those kinds of principles just in general?
To run as fast as you can, your body's going to figure out some ways to improve.
What about change direction as fast as you can?
That's T-Rex's skill. That's an Asperger's skill.
What about landing softly? When you're talking about all these knee injuries, in the news there are all these Achilles injuries. And, you know, we're talking again about the ability to, although these athletes are twice as big, twice as fast, and twice as strong, all of a sudden, sort of. Isn't it?
Yeah, but you're looking at the Sherpas of the Himalayas who carry up to over 100-some% of their body weight, and they do it walking up and down the sides of Mount Everest in extremely unstable, conditions, they don't incur musculoskeletal injuries like we do.
That's fascinating. You know? That's a fascinating fact.
Yeah, that's great. Right. That's why I just started that. I mean, yes. Right.
The world of overuse, youth sports, there is an epidemic in all sports of overuse injuries, the terrible twos, right. Too much, too aggressively. Right. But you're also saying that this, you know, biometrically, this biological mimicry of animals, the unit adaption, is something we got to pay attention to big time.
Right. Yeah, but you have to remember that the Sherpas and porters of the Himalayas also walk pigeon-toed. Because we don't walk, one of the misnomers of the human species is we have the luxury of walking on concrete, soft, laser-leveled surfaces.
Now, when you rotate the leg, in and pigeon-toed, you are lining up your big toe, it's called supination, to push off as a lever compared to being flexible, adaptive maybe to a surface. So are you saying that the pigeon-toe posture, for example, in maybe, you know, again, I'm picturing this cat and stability and movement, or the athlete who's playing defensive back or on a soccer field who's moving in 100 directions, we could train those systems.
Right. So if pigeon-toed, what pigeon-toed does is if you walk pigeon-toed, one foot perfectly in front of the other, and I demonstrate that in my YouTube channel, is that you're already internally rotated, so if you have to change direction, you can push yourself, your foot's already turned in the direction you want to move. So if your stress load is on the right foot and you're pigeon-toed on the right foot, first off, your point of pivot is as close to your body's natural center line as possible. The wider our feet are from our natural center line, the harder it is to change direction. So when you're pivoting
with your if you're pushing off a pronated foot, and a pronated foot is loose and flexible so your foot can adapt to the surface. Imagine you're walking on the beach. And that also is a shock-absorbing position. The supinated foot is the lever system. My colleague in the chiropractic world, internationally known Dr. Stockton, talks so much about the spring mechanism. But the pigeon toe, interesting term. It's always been a pathological term for the most part, whether it's children or whatever.
It's an interesting term
in the world of performance, whereas you are helping your center of gravity and you're lining up to be able to change direction efficiently. Good word.
So if you're running, for example, and you're trying to change direction, if you're pigeon-toed, you can actually set your hips up rather than increasing the torque to the knee to prevent ACL tears. You're actually setting yourself up and putting a negative torque on your knee so that when you rotate and your hips rotate into that turn, you're actually going from a negative torque load
athlete says in English, you know, before they go to your website, that if I can work on one foot behind the other, forward and backward, and I can do those things with pigeon toeing in mind, I'm doing a good smart exercise regardless of the sport that I'm in. Yes?
You got it. Right. It's taking yourself down to the smallest point of contact
barefoot
necessary.
Barefoot or in shoes? Barefoot or in shoes? I would imagine
I teach all my athletes, I start them barefoot.
Okay.
Just so, as I said, the modern shoe is nothing more than a 2x4 with
How much do you pay attention to their foot mechanics and biomechanics? Dr. Rob.
Everything.
Okay.
On
that sports podiatry note, give us the website. People can find out about you and your work.
Just go straight to my LinkedIn and go from there. SportJester1 for my YouTube channel. That's the only place where I visually have reference for it.
Excellent.
As I said, my thing, I'm blackballed. So
you're not blackballed anymore. Now you have a segment that you'll be able to share with from the best in the world to their coaches, to their parents. You'll add it to the mix in the challenge. Hey, Dr. Rob, pronounce your last name real quick for me.
For flute.
When I have you back, I'll remember it. Thank you so much for joining me. Hold on. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors in, everybody. doctors in. We're going to cut it short today. We've got great guests coming up in the future. Lou Vickery, who pitched for the Yankees and Cardinals. Whitey Swartz is his pitching coach. He's written 25 books. He's gotten a Lifetime Achievement Award. He had a show called Lou in the Morning. I used to join him once a month for about 3 years, the Sports Doctor's Inn. Podiatry colleague of mine, Dr. Ben Pearl, was just doing a great article. He's a big Buffalo Bills fan. And I think he had an interview with Doug Flutie, talking about his background. The following week, Sue Williams, sports hypnotherapy from Australia, will be joining me. Tavon Covey, a National Football League linebacker with a couple of teams, Notre Dame graduate. Some medical equipment he's involved with will be joining me. And I'll just pipe it in with my Dr. Bob wisdom. We talked about it all show today. Work, include, strengthening, paying attention to balance. Instability training, again, balancing on an unstable surface. If you need some instruction, get some principles at any of the physical therapists. Fall prevention, senior citizens, choosing the best shoe, but including whether it's something as simple as closing your eyes, holding on, and balancing on one foot at a time, or you're working with something like the sand dune stepper, which simulates being on the beach, you're working barefoot, the Bosu. I don't care what your son or daughter's sport is. I don't care what your sport is. I don't care what your level or age is. Working, including balance exercises, tilt boards, again, mini trampolines, working on unstable surfaces, R-E, the term, instability training. Again, I want to thank our guests. Great show. We cut the segment a little short, but we got across our upcoming guests. So I want to thank everybody, our friends at BBS Radio. Catch you guys next week. The Sports Doctor.